Radio Prague News.
Tomáš Petříček has been appointed foreign minister. The Prime Minister has criticized vulgar language used by the President live on radio. And Tomáš Plekanec has made his 1,000th appearance in the NHL. President Miloš Zeman appointed Tomáš Petříček of the Social Democrats Czech Minister of Foreign Affairs in a ceremony at Prague Castle on Tuesday morning. Mr. Petříček, who is 37, had formerly been a Deputy Foreign Minister. The President rejected the Social Democrats' previous nominee for the post of Foreign Policy Chief, Miroslav Pocha, and the party's Interior Minister, Jan Hamáček, filled the role for a number of months in a caretaker capacity. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has criticised the vulgar language used by President Miloš Zeman in an interview on Czech radio on Monday. Mr. Babiš said he understood that the head of state became angry when referring to the likes of Viktor Kožený, a 1990s financier wanted on an international arrest warrant, and Zdeněk Bakala, former owner of mining company OKD. However, such language was inappropriate, the Prime Minister said. The President used one of the strongest Czech expletives in the live interview. Mr. Babiš rarely questions the head of state in public. President Zeman and Prime Minister Babiš are to take part in a special Czech TV discussion on the centenary of the foundation of Czechoslovakia on the 28th of October, the news website Lidovky.cz reported. The two men will talk about key moments in Czechoslovak history, a spokesperson for Czech TV said. The programme will be pre-recorded without an audience at Prague Castle. It will be presented by journalist Svetlana Vitovská. Tuesday is the 50th anniversary of the approval by the Czechoslovak government of the presence of Soviet troops on the country's territory. The move followed the invasion of the country in August 1968 by Warsaw Pact soldiers. Previously, Czechoslovakia was the only country in the Eastern Bloc not to possess Soviet troop bases. The text of the treaty document was drafted in early October 1968 when senior Czechoslovak Communist Party officials held talks in Moscow on the conditions of the temporary deployment of Allied troops. Russian soldiers finally left Czechoslovakia 23 years later. Tomáš Plekanec became the 11th Czech ice hockey player to reach 1,000 games in the NHL when he appeared for Montreal Canadiens in their 7-3 win over Detroit Red Wings on Monday. The forward garnished the landmark appearance with his first goal of the season. Plekanec, who's 35 years old, joined Montreal Canadiens in the 2001 draft and made his NHL debut for the club in the 2005-2006 season. The weather forecast, it should be quite bright with the chance of rain in the Czech Republic on Wednesday, with temperatures of up to 19 degrees Celsius expected. Daytime highs are likely then to fall to below 10 degrees Celsius in a week's time. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, after months in political limbo, the country finally has a foreign minister. An annual mass drumming session marks the first transports of Jews from Prague to the Nazi concentration camps. And a bit later, we look at the peculiar Czech tradition of putting living presidents on postage stamps, with some notable exceptions. All that is coming up shortly, so please do stay with us. Three and a half months after the official forming of Andrej Babiš's cabinet, the Czech Foreign Ministry has finally received a full-time leader. Till now, Jan Hamáček, who is Minister of the Interior, had been temporarily at the helm. In a move that is widely understood as a political compromise, the new man in charge is Tomáš Petříček, the previous candidate's assistant. Tom McEncrow has more.
Vážený pane předsedo vlády, vážené dámy a pánové, prezident republiky jmenoval magistra Tomáše Petříčka ministrem a pověřil jej řízením.
On Tuesday at around lunchtime, nearly 100 days after the current Czech government passed the parliament's vote of confidence, President Miloš Zeman named Tomáš Petříček as the new Minister of Foreign Affairs. The lack of an official head of the Foreign Ministry was caused by the President refusing to confirm the first proposal of the government to place Social Democrat MEP Miroslav Poche into the position. The official reason given by the castle was his initially positive stance to EU migration quotas. An alternative, in the form of Poche's former assistant and party colleague Petříček, was proposed in September. Despite criticism from the opposition regarding Petříček's inexperience, it was announced at the beginning of October that he had been accepted by the castle, and Petříček assumed the office after an official ceremony on Tuesday morning. However, the president has insisted that as a price for naming Petříček into office, the former candidate Poche quits his role as political secretary at the foreign ministry. While Petříček has agreed to cancel the position, he did not rule out naming Poche as one of his advisers. Petříček outlined the targets he will strive to achieve as foreign minister in an interview with Czech Radio on Tuesday morning.
I would like to clearly delineate our country's position in the European Union and the wider transatlantic area. Our core priorities are that our foreign policy has continuity, that is consensual and that is coherent.
The statement was likely in relation to the varying standpoints on Czech foreign policy that have been visible between the castle and governments over the past years. He has vowed to discuss foreign policy questions with the president and the wider sphere of state representatives in order to maintain consensus. On a key point of Czech foreign policy in the past years, that is dealing with the migration crisis, Petříček agrees with Prime Minister Babiš that instead of taking refugees into Europe, support should be focused externally.
We can do more in countries like Jordan, Lebanon and Turkey to help refugees and improve their living conditions in refugee camps. Our target should be to stabilize the countries they are fleeing in order to ensure they can stay in their home countries.
Vít Dostál, who is research director at foreign policy think tank AMO, Association for International Affairs, believes that Petříček's hardest challenge will also involve reaching consensus within his own party.
Not only there are divisions between the castle and part of the Czech political spectrum when it comes to foreign policy issues, but also the Social Democratic Party is very much divided on a couple of foreign policy questions. So that will be definitely the most difficult task for a new minister.
Think tank research director Vít Dostál, ending that report by Tom McEncrow. Now, the fifth annual mass drumming session is set to take place on Tuesday afternoon, marking the first Jewish transports from Prague on the 16th of October, 1941. The event takes place at the former Bubny railway station, from which the Nazis sent around 50,000 people to their deaths. Ruth Frankova has more.
The motto or the topic of this year's drumming is to recall the first Jewish transport which went from Prague to Terezín, and it was 77 years ago. And the other topic is the change of the place where the drumming takes place, which is Nádraží Bubny, Bubny train station in Holešovice. This place is going to change into a memorial of silence. And the students for students means that the students are those who are able to change something because they are young. And if they take part in the drumming, then they can maybe absorb some of the thoughts of this year's drumming and pass it over to their friends, to other students, and the change can happen. So this year, the organizers also invited students to take part in it, which is not that usual.
The main aim of the public drum session, as you said, is to remember the first Jewish transports from Prague. But I think it is not the only reason behind the drumming. What else will you be drumming for?
Well, we are drumming for, and we are also drumming against. And we are drumming, of course, recall the first Jewish transport, and also against the silence of the society and against looking away from the dangerous social phenomena happening all around us, which is mostly connected with xenophobia and the Nazi ideology.
One of the events that you are going to launch by today's drumming for Bubny is an exhibition called Football, yes, in a Century of Fouls. Can you tell me a bit more about the project?
The project connects sports, architecture and history, and finds connecting elements in it, which goes back to the transport, to the Nazi ideology, and how is it dangerous for today's society. So throughout the fall of 2018, the organizers will try to discuss with the society expressions of neo-Nazi ideology at football stadiums. This problem can be seen all over Europe, not only in the Czech Republic.
Finally, the Bubny railway station is set to be reconstructed in the future, and it's set to become a Holocaust memorial. How far are you with the plans for reconstruction?
Well, we hope that the reconstruction work could start in maybe 3-4 months, hopefully. The plans are ready and everything is confirmed and approved, so we are just waiting for the real reconstruction to begin, and we hope that it's going to happen in 2 or 3 months.
Klára Bobková from Memorial of Silence, ending that report by Ruth Frankova. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature. The Czech Republic is among the few European countries whose incumbent presidents appear on postage stamps. The first such stamp was issued in 1920 and featured none other than Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, independent Czechoslovakia's first head of state. Since then, nearly every president has been on a stamp. Ruth Frankova looks into this peculiar Czech tradition.
Unlike queens and kings, living presidents usually appear on stamps only in countries with authoritarian regimes, such as Kazakhstan or Syria. But for reasons not entirely clear, the Czech Republic and Slovakia have preserved the tradition of picturing their heads of state on stamps, as has Estonia. Martin Říha, curator from the Postal Museum in Prague, explains how the tradition emerged in the first place.
Na poštovních známkách se tradičně objevují monarchové, králové a královny.
Traditionally, kings and queens have appeared on stamps since 1840, when the first postal stamp was created. At that time, it was Queen Victoria who appeared on the stamp as a symbol of the state and of the power of the British Empire, so the tradition was supposed to support the monarchy. At the time of the Republic, this tradition became something of a relic. The presidency is an elected function, so the stamps lost their original purpose. So it is kind of strange that it survived in Czechoslovakia or Estonia, and it is, in a way, inadequate for the presidential role.
Ale de facto je to neadekvátní k tomu postu prezidenta.
The first of Czechoslovakia's presidential stamps featuring Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk came out in 1920. Since then, a portrait of every single Czechoslovak president has appeared on a stamp, with the exception of Emil Hácha, the wartime president of Nazi-occupied Bohemia and Moravia.
Emil Hácha byl zvolen v roce 1938 do druhé republiky. Bylo mnoho.
Emil Hácha was elected in 1938, at the time of the Second Republic, when there were all sorts of different problems. When the protectorate was established, there was no time for the stamp to be issued. The role of the president was taken over by Adolf Hitler, so a stamp with Emil Hácha has never come out.
Opravdu žádná známka s Emilem Háchou jakožto prezidentem protektorátu nevyšla.
New presidential stamps are issued not only when a new head of state is elected, but also when the current one is re-elected, explains Martin Říha. In case of the most recent stamp featuring President Miloš Zeman, the 2013 original made by engraver Miloš Ondráček was simply reissued in a different color. The creation of Czechoslovak postal stamps has always involved some of the country's finest painters, and the presidential stamps were no exception. The famous Masaryk stamp, for instance, was created by the painter Max Švabinský. Based on his portrait, Eduard Karel and Bohumil Heinz created engravings, which were then printed using the method of steel engraving. In later years, stamps were usually based on photographs, although Václav Klaus was portrayed by the famous graphic artist Oldřich Kulhánek. The process of making an ordinary postage stamp can take up to 2 years, says Martin Říha, but the presidential editions are usually made within days or weeks from a head of state's appointment to the function. For instance, the Václav Havel stamp was issued within days after his election in an issue of 260 million pieces. Martin Říha again.
Zajímavou takovou raritou byl Ludvík, známka Ludvíka Svobody.
One of the rarities was the stamp with President Ludvík Svoboda from 1975. The stamp had already been printed, but Svoboda was forced to retire due to ill health, and it was decided that all the stamps bearing his image would be discarded. So the whole edition containing hundreds of millions of stamps was destroyed. But of course some stamps went unnoticed, and they have great value today. Another interesting situation arose in 1990, when Václav Havel was elected president. There were two artists, Josef Herčík and Miloš Ondráček, who wanted to engrave his stamp. Herčík chose an unofficial picture with the president wearing a sweater. Havel had already approved it, unaware of the complicated protocol, and Herčík went on to create it, but it was never released. Instead, the more traditional one, designed by Miloš Ondráček, was issued.
Vytvořil, ale nikdy nevyšla. A vyšla ta tradičnější, taková ten tradiční portrét od Miloše Ondráčka.
The first Czechoslovak presidential postage stamp featuring Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk was issued with a face value ranging between 20 helles to 10 crowns. Some were even more expensive, with the additional cost going to charity. But under the communist rule, presidential stamps had a very low face value. Martin Říha explains.
V době komunistického režimu, protože vládci tehdejší pochopili, jakou propagandistickou...
The communist authorities revealed presidential stamps with a low face value, but in large issues of up to several billion, using the stamps as a form of state propaganda. Today, the use of postal services is declining, and so are the sales of postage stamps, which in turn increases their value. At the moment, the stamp featuring Miloš Zeman has a face value of 19 crowns, while just a few years ago it was 16. So if you buy several hundred presidential stamps in advance, you can make a profit on them.
Před třemi lety to bylo 16 korun, ale když si koupíte známku do zásoby několik set prezidentů, tak po zdražení budete na tom vydělat.
Because they were released in large issues, postage stamps with presidents are usually not sought by collectors. But there are a few exceptions, says Mr. Riha, such as the Masaryk Scout stamps from 1918, printed on the occasion of the foundation of Czechoslovakia.
Scouti provozovali poštu, protože pošta byla tehdy v rakouských rukách.
At the time, the postal services were still managed by the Austro-Hungarian authorities, so the scouts got permission to run the post for a few days. Their stamps had the first mention of the new president, announcing that on December 28th he had arrived in Czechoslovakia. Only around 100 pieces of this edition have survived till today, and they have an immense value. So if you happen to find such a stamp at home, you can sell it for several million crowns.
The Czechoslovak presidential stamps, along with hundreds of other postage stamp designs, can be seen at a special exhibition in Prague's Postal Museum, which gets underway on the 16th of November. The exhibition will mark the 100th anniversary of the foundation of Czechoslovakia and the anniversary of the Postal Museum, the first museum to be established in the newly founded Czechoslovak state. The exhibition will run until March 2019.
And that edition of Czech History with Ruth Frankova brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's content, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz, and you can also contact us on Facebook or via Twitter. We'd be glad to hear from you. I'm Brian Kennedy. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.
Thank you.